إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن انتهج نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته All praises are due to Allah, the Lord of the world. We praise Him, we thank Him, we seek for His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the evil consequences of our wrongdoings. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and messenger, and His peace, blessings be upon Him, His progeny, apostles, and the believers who take the right path till the day of resurrection. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy grant us all the privilege of being among them. Bismillahi ta'ala, we shall proceed from where we drew the curtain last week, still on the chapter 40 within the context of Riyad al-Salihin. The Imam Ibn Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, Babu Birr al-Walidayn wa Silat al-Arham. That chapter we treat the kind treatment towards parents and establishment of the ties of blood relationship, Silat al-Arham. Last week, the last hadith we read was that of Abu Huraira. رضي الله تعالى عنه إن الله تعالى خلق الخلق. Today we shall proceed from hadith number 321, that is according to my own numbering, it may differ. The hadith is the fifth hadith. The fifth hadith. Under the chapter, he said, وعنه أي أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاء رجل إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله من أحق الناس بحسن صحابتي؟ قال أمك. قال ثم من؟ قال أمك. قال ثم من؟ قال أمك. قال ثم من؟ قال أبوك. متفق عليه. On the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه, that someone came to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال, and said to him, يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, O Messenger of Allah, من أحق الناس بحسن صحابتي, that who is most deserving of my fine treatment, who deserves my fine treatment the most, حسن صحابتي, قال أمك. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, your mother, she is the most deserving. Then قال ثم من, he asked further, who next? قال أمك. But after you must have treated your mother with kindness, The next person who is still most deserving of another kindness, another fine treatment, is still who? Your mother. قال ثم من. When the person repeated, then who next? قال أمك. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم still replied, your mother, for the third time. قال ثم من. Then the person said, then who next? قال أبوك. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, your father. Muttafaqun alayhi. Muttafaqun alayhi. In another narration, وفي رواية يا رسول الله من أحق الناس بحسن الصحبة. The person asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most deserving of good treatment? قال أمك ثم أمك ثم أمك ثم أباك ثم أدناك فأدناك. In this narration, it was said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not wait for the person to ask as to who will be most deserving of his kind treatment after his mother, but himself, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, repeated the mother three times. After making mention of the father, after which he said, ثُمَّ أَدْنَاكْ أَدْنَاكْ. Then, your relatives, that is, as nearer as they are, they take hierarchy. ثُمَّ أَدْنَاكْ فَأَدْنَاكْ. That is, from the nearest to the next in rank. That is, you give priority to the nearest. That is the meaning of أَدْنَاكْ أَدْنَاكْ. In the hadith, some African scholars have said that the reason why the Messenger of Allah made mention of the mother three times is because of the stress she went through while she was pregnant. That is what entitles her to the first ummuk. The second is the breastfeeding, and that the third is the what? Is the fact that she birthed the baby. But the question that will come in here is, it is only in Africa that women tie. In fact, in other parts of the world, some people see it to be an act of cruelty to the baby that you tie. How will someone, they feel it's not good for the baby? Ala kulli hal, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated that the mother is most deserving of our kind treatment three times over that of the father. Three times over that of the father. This is because of the species she belongs to. She belongs to the weak species of the society, and which the Sharia is out towards to protect. You will realize that even before she becomes a mother, the Sharia has been what? Has been protecting her. The Sharia seems to be giving more attention to her because she is weak. So now that she has been elevated to the status of a mother, if you look at the stress she went through, the pains she goes through during the period of pregnancy, the pain which nobody can explain, which women go through when they are about delivering. Then what they endure while what? While bringing up the child. Yes, although the father goes about trying to shoulder the responsibility of catering for the family, feeding them, so on and so forth. But the stress attached to taking care of an infant, and that is why most of the time, if the mothers or wives are busy with one thing or the other, for a very short period of time, that taking care of the baby, looking over the baby, will be delegated to you. You will be exhausted for just that very short period of time. You will be disturbed, most especially if the baby is crying. You cannot endure the noise. You are not used to it. You are not used to it, and that is why, but as far as they are concerned, that is why sometimes it is not that they are hardened-hearted. Sometimes when the baby is crying, they seem to neglect them. Because they are what? They are used to it, but to you, it's a nuisance. Sometimes what I was telling some mothers, I said to you, the cry of a baby is as good as a selected ringing tone. They were laughing. I said, that is it, because you, it's like they enjoy the noise. It is not that they enjoy it, but they are what? They are used to it. They are used to it. It's because they are used to it. So the Messenger of Allah said, ummuk, three different times. Then your father. Then that this was a preference is being given to who? To the mother. But subhanAllah, look at how Islam uplifted the position of the mother. Juxtapose that position which Islam gives to a mother to our reality. Juxtapose it with our reality. You realize that there is no network whatsoever, ever, between the position as being taught by our religion and our own posture, our own attitude. Look at even our younger ones in the society. If there is any dispute between two of them, and they feel they need to insult one another, who do they insult the most? Mother. Someone will now think, why mother? Maybe because everyone feels that will be more what? More painful. It will be more painful. And it shouldn't be. Because that is equivalent to you going to your own parents to unleash that insult on them. That is what the Messenger of Allah says. It is as grievous as that. It's as if you are going to that parent. If someone insults your parent, don't take revenge. Don't say, you insult my mother and I will insult your mother too. No. Don't do that. Exercise patience. Because what that person has done is not an insult to your mother. It's not an insult to your mother. Rather, an insult to his own mother. To his own mother. And also, we need to understand, as fathers, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't have made mention of the mother three different independent. That is to say, before you extend any act of kindness to the father, you should do that to the mother three times, independently. Each time independent of
one another.
In this hadith, we should also ask husbands, deduce the fact that we have to be patient with these servants of Allah. We have to be patient with them. Because the responsibility they are meant to shoulder in the society is so great, it's so important, that they deserve to be treated with kindness three times before us. And that is why Sheikh Salman al-Awda once says that women are half of the society and they give back to the second half. So you cannot imagine a society without women. So they deserve to be treated kindly. They deserve to be respected. And we Muslims should be role models to that. Women generally, before coming to mothers, women generally should be treated with kindness. Talk less of your mother. That should be seen in us as Muslims. Wallahi, these are beautiful characters, beautiful manners, which are sufficient, if well displayed, to invite people to Islam. Wallahi, they are sufficient. In the Arabian countries, I know that in Medina, if a woman steps on the main road, then it is as good as, you know, here with big traffic lights, if you realize you are close and it shows you red and you fire. Where if a woman steps on the road, then it is as good as a red light telling you to stop. Then everybody stops from this end and that end until she crosses the road comfortably. That's why, subhanAllah, sometimes if I see how old women, even in societies, environments, communities that are predominated by Muslims, when I see eight women running on the street, and that brother who is riding a bike, driving a car, is not even taking them into consideration. Wait a bit. Don't scare these servants of Allah. They deserve to be respected. If you respect her, you don't know her, you are not related to her, she's somebody's mother. She's likely to be somebody's sister. She's another person's wife. The same way, if your wife, your mother, your sister, your daughter steps on the road tomorrow, another person who has that good character respects her, gives her way. And that is what is done. In public transport, in the Arabian countries, if you are entering public transport and the car is filled up, women drop for who? Men drop for women. You go, we are capable of withstanding the stress of waiting for another one. But you are weaker, you go. But here, go to that address, Abuja, where people rush for cars. The way they push a woman, because what a man can do, according to them, and that is the basis of that treatment, okay? Say, you can do better. Okay, let's try and see. She will remain there for the next 3 hours. She was the one that stopped the car. But she is not going to be one of the passengers. Because when those hefty men rush, they push her. As Muslims, we respect women. The religion teaches us to respect women. But although today the enemies of Islam are trying to paint the religion in black when it comes to issues that are related to women, They think civilization is for a woman to be sleeping on the street. And subhanAllah, the out of Muslim women. The provision which Islam made for women is that right from when she is given birth to, she has that absolute right of being taken care of right from the time she was given birth to until the day she will be taken back to her grave. Islam made provision for her from state to state, she is to be taken care of. She has no responsibility upon her. She is to be taken care of. The responsibility of taking care of her lies on her father, from her father to her husband. If she is divorced, she comes back to the family. It is compulsory that you take care of her. She is to be catered for until the day she dies. But today we say no. No, it is her right. You can imagine, it is her right to be sweeping the streets. It is her right to wear trousers and fill your tanks at the filling station. Is that a molestation? Or an upliftment of status? But they painted that to be that, look, it is your right to come and molest yourself. So ummuk, thumma ummuk, thumma ummuk. Then thumma abak. Then thumma adnak, fa adnak. Then the nearest, and the person who comes in the hierarchy after the nearest. وعنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سئل أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال رغم أنف من أدرك أبويه عند الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلم يدخل الجنة. On the authority of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said رغم أنف, may he be disgraced. ترغيم الأنف literally means for someone's nose to be soiled, to be brushed on the ground as a sign of molestation. That is the literal meaning of رغم أنف. Then the Messenger of Allah said رغم أنف, that is to say, may he be disgraced, may he be molested. He repeated it three times. Ragima anf, ragima anf, ragima anf. May he be molested, may he be disgraced, may he be molested, may he be disgraced. Who? Man adraka abawayhi inda al-kibar. That is he whose parents, ahaduhuma aw kilahuma, one or both of them, attain old age during his lifetime. Adraka abawayhi inda al-kibar ahaduhuma aw kilahuma. One or both of them attain old age while this person is alive. He is fortunate to be alive while his parents attain old age. فَلَمْ يَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَلَمْ يَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ, and he does not enter the Jannah. يَعَذَنْ بِاللَّهِ. That is to say, that person wasted the closest opportunity of gaining access to the paradise. They are the closest because they are your parents.
one or both of them attain old age
while someone is alive, but the person did not seize the opportunity of serving them. Did not seize the opportunity to serve them, to be dutiful to them, to be obedient to them before they pass away. That is to say, in essence, that if you succeed in serving your parents, most especially when they attain old age, and you attain their pleasure before their departure, it means that you will be invited into where? Jannah. That is what it means. So one of those deeds that if someone succeeds in putting it into practice will avail him the opportunity of being invited to the Jannah is to what? Is to serve your parents. And serving your parents is an umbrella word. Serve them. Obey them. Scholars say, although it is compulsory, it is an obligation for someone to serve his parents regardless of their age. You so someone will not say no. The emphasis is just being laid on when they will need you the most. That is when they have become what? Of age. Can't you realize that parents, even when after you have grown up, you have become an adult, married, your mother will even be disturbed as to whether this woman is taking good care of you. She will be interested sometimes. These are some of the issues that irritates the wife. Some of our mothers will be disturbed to the extent that sometimes they will still send food to you. You are married already. Look at the mother. You are now a grown-up person, an adult, an independent human being, but yet they are still interested in your well-being. That is to say, the parents will not relent in their effort to give you as much as they can. But emphasis is being laid on when they become of old age, when they will become dependent. When they will become dependent on you. While you were young, they've never shown any form of disgust. They were never tired. They were never tired. Even after you have become an adult, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse which we read at the commencement of this chapter, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ, as a form of disgust. It is prohibited that you express anything that will show that you are in disagreement with them. Because then, after reaching the peak, what happens? Then you start coming back. You now have to endure the likeness of what they endured while you were what? While you were young. I was informed by a brother that they had a grandfather that will always say, take me to the barber. I want to barb my hair. Even if he has no single, no any traces of hair on his what? On his head. Will you say,
so person, come and take me to the barber. Or go and invite the barber to barb my hair. Baba, your hair is, there is nothing there. You see, I should go and invite you. It means you have to be very what? Don't say, please, Baba, don't disturb me. How many times do you want to barb your hair in a day?
That is haram. That is haram. There will come a stage when they will repeat. They will say something, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. And that is why, because we are saying Al-Jannah. So it is not an easy task at all. That's why you have to be patient. And that is why there are these Islamic injunctions to guide you and restrict you from reacting. I once read about that adult whom his father once sat him down in the garden of their house, where birds fly and sing. And he was asking his son about a particular bird, that what type of bird is that? The child said, father, it is so-and-so bird. Later, the bird came back flying and singing. The father asked for the second time, what type of bird is that? He said, father, it is so-and-so bird. That same one that I just told you of recently. Later, the bird came back flying, singing. The father repeated the question, what type of bird is that? He said, oh, father, how many times do you want me to tell you? I said, it's so-and-so bird. Then his father said, wait. Then he went inside, brought a paper which, from the size of the paper, you will see that this paper has stayed there for years. Then he wrote. He opened the paper to read. He said, on so-so-so day, so-so-so year, at so-so-so place, my son, this very son now, asked me about this very bird. Was it 44 times asking me, father, daddy, what type of bird is it? The father will tell him, it's so-so-so bird. He will say, daddy, what type of bird is it? The father wrote it, counted it, it was about 40-something times. He said, you asked me years back while you were small. You asked me about this same bird 44 times, and I never got tired of replying you. Now I've just asked for 3 times. Just for 3 times, subhanAllah. Compare that to 40-something times. That is to say, if the father was to ask for 40-something times, that child will leave that house, pack to another place, delete the father's number, and block his line. Wow, how can you imagine daddy asking me one question for 40-something times? You have to endure the lightness of what they want, they endured. The lightness of what they endured. This is not an easy task. This is issue of Jannah and Nar. It is either you enter Jannah through them, or they be the reason why someone will be invited to the hellfire. That's why you have to be very careful. But sometimes too, parents are not assisting their children. They are not training them towards this direction. Most especially parents of this era of ours. There are a lot of, we've made available a lot of things that will ordinarily make our children to disobey us. There are a lot of them. One very common one is the TV set. Is either it is a film, is either it is a TV program that the child is watching, then the child, if captivated by that which he or she is watching, and you need his or her attention, is likely to what? to disobey. Right from the tender age, before you know it, it becomes part of that time. And it grows up with it. It grows up with it. These are things we need to frown at. If a child does it to his father in the presence of the mother should frown at it to an extent that the child will know that, no, mother is taking this very serious. If a child does it in the presence of his father towards his mother, the father should take it very serious. So that the child will know, no, this is not an area that someone should play with. So that the child will know that, no, if I do this, father, daddy will take it easy with me. Likewise, his mother. It means we are what? We are training them. We are training them. And we are helping them. Because it is an obligation upon them. So we are helping them towards understanding that obligation when they grow up. Their obligation towards their parents. Their obligation towards their parents. So it is also important that as much as we emphasize on the rights of parents upon their children, we also emphasize that, because if you look at that hadith wherein the Messenger of Allah says, if any one of you passes on, then every act of his or her ceases, except three things, one of which is what? Waladin salihin yad'u lah. Walad, the Messenger of Allah did not say walad, any child. It's a righteous child that faithful. Because if the child is not righteous in the first place, he will not even remember you, talk less of him or her praying for you. So the child has to be righteous. And how does the child become righteous? Is by you giving the child a good what? A good upbringing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us in that respect. وعنه أي أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رجلا قال يا رسول الله إن لي قرابة أصلهم ويقطعونني وأحسن إليهم ويسيئون إلي وأحلم عنهم ويجهلون علي قال لئن كنت كما قلت فكأنما تصفهم المل ولا يزال معك من الله ظهير عليهم ما دمت على ذلك رواه مسلم. أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه reported that indeed someone came to the Messenger of Allah وسلم and said, يا رسول الله أو Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لي قرابة أصلهم ويقطعوني. That indeed I have relatives whom I try to maintain and keep ties of relationship with, ويقطعوني, but what I get in return as I try to keep and sustain the tie of relationship with them, what I get in return is that وَيَقْطَعُونِي, but they severe relationship with me. The severe relationship with me. وَأُحْسِنُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَيُسِيئُونَ إِلَيَّ. That these relatives of mine, I treat them kindly, but they treat me badly in return. أُحْسِنُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَيُسِيئُونَ إِلَيَّ. You see, I try to keep ties of relationship with them, but what they do in return is to sever the relationship. Despite that, I treat them kindly. I extend good things to them. وَيُسِيئُونَ إِلَيَّ. What I get in return is that they treat me badly.
وأهلم عنهم ويجهلون علي. That I am gentle with them. ويجهلون علي. But they are rough with me. The Messenger of Allah said, the Messenger of Allah now said, لَإِن كُنْتَ كَمَا قُلْتَ. If you are as the way you just described, that is, you try to keep the ties of relationship with them, while their own effort is towards severing it, you treat them kindly, while in return they treat you badly, you are gentle with them, while in turn they are rough with you. If you are as you just described, فَكَأَنَّمَا تُصِفُّهُمُ الْمَلْ. It is as though you are feeding them with hot ashes. It is as though you are feeding them with hot ashes. وَلَا يَزَالُ مَعَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَزَالُ مَعَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ ظَهِيرٌ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا دُمْتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And you will be with a supporter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against them once you remain like that. That is, if you do not stop doing what you have been doing, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down a supporter that will be with you against them. مَا دُمْتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. So far you remain on that. That is to say, that if your relatives are not interested in keeping ties with you, that fact in itself is not sufficient for you to what? To abandon them. Is not sufficient for you to abandon them. Rather, what is expected of you is to endure. Is to endure. You can see the case of this person. It has nothing, it is not even restricted to trying to keep the ties with them. He extends good things to them. They don't appreciate him. It is as if to say, look, we don't want anything. We don't want you, and we don't want anything that has to do with you. But with that, he keeps doing it. He keeps doing it. The scholars now say, the punishment of someone who does that in return to another who tries to keep ties of relationship with him, is being now compared with the position of someone who feeds on what? Hot ashes. Who feeds on hot ashes. So the hadith encourages someone who does this while he gets nothing in return. And at the same time, the hadith warns against doing it. It warns against doing it. وَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. It is un-Islamic. It is bad. It is unbecoming of a Muslim that someone does good to you, and what he gets in return is bad. While the Messenger of Allah teaches us that man sana ilaykum ma'rufan fakafi'uhu. Whosoever does any good to you, then compensate them. If you are not capable of compensating them, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَا تُكَافِئُونَهُ بِهِ فَقُولُوا لَهُ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. Then pray for him. Pray for him. Say جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. You say جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. And not to harm the person in return. So try as much as possible to be that person who is trying to keep the ties of relationships and not be the other. And whenever you get an unexpected result in return, don't quit. We've read this hadith in one of the previous chapters a few months back. After the class, I had to go into seclusion with my own self. Because that class was completely centered on myself. And that is why we have to be very careful when we take decisions that concerns other person's life. You know, sometimes Allah may place us in a position whereby we'll be the one to decide for another person. If Allah places you in such positions, be careful. Be careful, because that person, if he grows up, if the decision favors him, he will praise you. If not, that my uncle that I stayed with. Allah, subhanAllah, that uncle, jazakallahu khairan, he did this to me, he did this for me. Look, that uncle that I stayed with, I think a brother of recent that was lamenting, he said, you see, the reason why I didn't go to school is because of that my brother is rich. He has everything to send me to school, but he deprived me. Although, while that decision was taken on his behalf, he may have no opportunity to voice out. But now, he is now grown up. And the wound is still what? Fresh. But yet, Islam says, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَكْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. If someone has done that to you, in any stage of your livelihood, don't you want Allah to forgive you? That is to say, if you want Allah, if you sin against Allah and you accept the forgiveness of Allah, then forgive one another. I had an experience that's similar to that. So I've vowed not to call that person again and have nothing to do with that person again. But after that class, that very day, I had to go and search for the person's number. I called the person was shocked. I introduced myself, the person was still asking whether, the person wants to be sure whether I am the person on the line. Because the person herself wasn't expecting my call. You have to fight your mind. Look at the reward that is attached to it. Look at the reward that is attached to you capable of overcoming the desire of your heart. Yes, that person may have hurt you. Yes. But Islam says, forgive that person. Forgive the person. Establish a very strong tie of relationship, even in a situation whereby you get a negative response. Don't quit. even if you get a negative response, don't speak.
Because the Messenger of Allah said, وَلَا يَزَالُ مَعَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ ظَهِيرٌ ظَهِيرٌ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا دُمْتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. That is, you have a delegated supporter. And who do you think a supporter from Allah will be? Angel. It is as if when Hassan ibn Thabit, you know, it was said that Hassan ibn Thabit, his tongue was more painful on the mushrikun than what? Than to be struck with the fork. It is better for a mushrik, for you to strike a mushrik with your sword than for Hassan to what? For Hassan to describe their situation. They prefer being struck with a sword than for them to hear Hassan describing their condition. Once Hassan was describing the condition, the awful and bad condition of the non-believers, then the Messenger of Allah said, continue doing it, because Jibril is your supporter. Jibril supports you. You can imagine the pleasure and the strength. If you have good intention, then Allah will assign a supporter to you. And Allah will grant you steadfastness on that. And that is why we have always said that, look, Islam is not restricted to some rituals which many people have understood it to be restricted to. Performing ablution, entering the mosque, and taking the takbirat al-ihram and taslim, and Islam ends there. His relationship with his wife, if we hear, you will shout. His relationship with his neighbor, if we hear, you will be surprised. His relationship with his own parents. His relationship with his relatives. All these, Islam has come to teach us some etiquette. So even when that person is not responding positively, Islam still encourages you that you what? You keep doing it, because you will be rewarded for it. Maybe we should take the last one, right? Should we stop here or take that? Let's take the next hadith. Is a short one. The hadith of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, man ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi wa yunsa'u lahu fi atharihi falyasil rahimahu. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indeed said, whosoever loves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him ample provisions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door of wealth for you from nowhere. It is not by you reading إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ or calling Ya Razzaq, Ya Razzaq, without asking, without supplicating unto the Razzaq. You know, there is this popularly known method of praying. You waste your time without asking Allah anything. Say Ya Razzaq. If you want to be rich, go and be saying Ya Razzaq 70,000 times. You don't go and say Ya Razzaq, Ya Razzaq, Ya Razzaq. Yes, it's true. Allah is Razzaq. But you didn't ask the Razzaq for anything. You are just saying Ya Razzaq, Ya Razzaq. What do you want Ya Razzaq to do for you? You have not supplicated. You have not asked anything. You should have said Ya Razzaq urzuqni. Oh, you Allah, the provider, provide for me. But you are just saying, oh, you the provider, oh, you the provider, oh, you the provider. Yes, the provider is waiting to hear what your request. You've not made any request. And for good 70,000 times, you say, Ya Razzaq, you wasted your time. And that is what you do when you abandon the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here, the Messenger of Allah said, if you want ample provision, you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless your wealth, to bless your possessions. Because sometimes it is not the numerical plurality that matters, but the barakah. Sometimes you imagine, but how much is the salary? But that shop is just a very small shop. How come is able to do this and that? It's because Allah is what? Allah has put his barakah. It's because Allah has blessed that work. Allah has blessed that job. Allah has blessed that which is in your possession. If you want أن يبسط من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه والحديث متفق عليه. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. If that is what you want risk from Allah سبحانه وتعالى وينسأ له في أثره سبحان الله. Because if you have as much as possible of wealth and your life is what? Is short. Then you must have garnered that wealth for who? For your head. For your head. But look at what the Messenger of Allah said, that is ample provisions. Wealth. And what? Long life. Long life. And that is the wish of every human being on earth. Wealth and long life. The Messenger of Allah said, if you want this too, you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you rizq, you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elongate your life, then do this. What is it that you are going to do? He said, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِيمَهُ. Then such person should maintain good ties with his blood relatives. Subhanallah. Maintain good ties with his blood relatives. That is what you do. If you do that, here in the dunya, you get this too. Rizq. And your life will be elongated. Scholars say here, as to the issue of elongating the life of someone, we all know that there is qadar. The time each and every one of us is going to stay here is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how come the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it can be extended? Scholars of the Tafsir said there are two meanings that imply. One is that Allah will bless your livelihood in such a way that it will be as though you have stayed more than that. And if we look, Allah has done that for many. Even this person whose book we are reading now, he stayed not more than 40-something years, not up to 45 years. Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Not more than 45 years. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed his livelihood. He did good things. Look, we are benefiting from, only Allah knows how many places Riyadh al-Salihin, the book of Riyadh al-Salihin is being read now. Only Allah knows. Look at Sharh Muslim, the Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. When you are talking about the commentary on Sahih Muslim, then you must mention Imam al-Nawawi before mentioning any other scholar. Just as you must mention Imam al-Hajar on the issue of a commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari before making mention of any other scholar. He wrote a lot of books, but look at how long he stayed. So many people stayed over 100 years, but they did nothing. Nobody is even talking about them. It is as if they have never existed. But these people, they are alive, although they are what? Although they are dead. Because, in fact, they get as much as reward, more than some of us that are alive today. On daily basis, the reward they get, although they are in their grave, it's more than even the reward some of us who are still alive and have the opportunity of doing good deeds today. They get more than we do. Allah will bless your livelihood. It may be a short one, but it will be blessed in such a way that it will be as if you have stayed for hundreds of years. And that it is also possible that it be extended. That it is possible that it is written for someone in his qadr that if so person engages in the act of keeping and maintaining ties of relationship with his relatives, he will stay for 60 years. If he didn't, he will stay for 45 years. So he has two qadr. But which of the two will be, Allah already knows the final. Allah knows whether you will do this or not, and which of the two will become of you. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you the opportunity of doing that, then that is the elongation. It is still, that longevity is still within the context of the qadr. It is nothing outside the qadr. It's still within the context of what? Of the qadr. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. This is briefly the explanation of scholars concerning this hadith. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy make it easy for us. Make it easy, because this is a good deed that attracts a great reward. It attracts a great reward. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to practicalize. Because of time, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala, we are going to stop here. If Allah grants us the privilege of meeting next week, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala, we shall proceed from the next hadith, still that of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu ardahu wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now, if there is any question. Alaykum salam wa sallam. Now. Salam. Because of Ayn. It's not possible. And this text, the one you just made mention, and this hadith also implies that it is as if someone's time of death can be postponed. This also implies that someone's time of death can be what? Postponed. But whether he dies early or he dies at a very later time, it's still within the context of what? Of qadr. But وَجَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. That can be the sabab for which this person is dying. But it does not mean that he is dying before his what? Before his time. And that is why we Muslims, we are different from the non-Muslims. They will say the death is a premature one. No. The death cannot be premature. Because if the person has exhausted his faith, and that is why he has to what? Take an exit. The person must just go at that particular point of time. So there is no prematurity in the act of death, because it is Allah alone that has the sole responsibility of deciding when someone goes. So when he says it's premature, then that word is someone of absurd to the dignity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever someone dies, it's within the context of what? So even if someone brings a weapon and kills another person, that act is a sabab, is a reason. But it won't be said that if not because he killed him, even if this person did not kill him, he must die at that hour, at that minute. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Na'am. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Yes, Sheikh. With you know this intention.
Allah is
Yes.
Allah knows our intention. He knows our intention even before He created us. He knows what we will intend. But with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي. I know what you want, but ask me. Ask me for it. On daily basis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the sama and ask, is there anyone asking for anything so that we give? Allah knows each and everybody what we have in mind, but He says we should what? We should ask Allah. We should supplicate unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what? And ask. And the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us the etiquette of asking. If you are saying, Ya Razzaq, there is no problem in saying Ya Razzaq, but supplicate. Ask. Ask something. And even in the case of Ayub has asked. If the only thing was that the prophets of Allah, subhanAllah, they were being polite. He didn't say that condition of ill health was by the permission of who? But he did not affiliate it to Allah. He said, Masani yadur. As if he's ashamed of saying, you have afflicted me with this. He's ashamed of saying, you have afflicted me with this. So he has indirectly asked. It differs from the position of someone who is just saying, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahman, without saying, Ya Rahman. So if you call, it's as if you are knocking, then you ask. So Islam says, we should what? We should ask. And asking Allah, supplicating unto Him, rolling out our needs, list of needs, is ibadah in itself. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good understanding of the deen. In the absence of any other person, inshallah, Khalid sir. Allahumma sallam wa sallam. Naam. The life of a person will be long. Wallahi, I don't know. La adri, I don't know. But if I have the time, I will research into that. Walaikum salam wa sallam. Yes. Yes. So then. She disobeys him. She does things at will. When there are measures Islamically, which Islam says should be taken in such, that is al-mar'at al-nashida. Islam says, fa'idhuhunna, admonish her. You admonish, even if the person is not your wife, if the person you have good feeling for, that you admonish, because you don't want the person to go astray. So this person is your wife, Allah says, fa'idhuhunna. You admonish this person. Because you are the door, as far as she is concerned, to her own paradise. You admonish her. فَإِذُوهُنَّ وَحْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِرِ. You distance yourself. Turn away from them. On the what? On your bed. Turn away from them. وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ. Beat them. This وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ was explained in series of a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Beating them does not mean that you go to the market to get boxing gloves and say, yes, it's both ribuhunna. I've admonished you. I've turned my back. You didn't change them. The next thing is, no. They said lightly. Because the intent and purpose is for them to be reprimanded. And when you take this, after you must have, before, inshallah, you exhaust these three measures, there is hope.
that she will change. If she doesn't, then there will be need for relatives to what? To intervene. For relatives to intervene. Because we don't want that bond to what? To split. We don't want it to split. So Islam legislates talaq, but it doesn't encourage it. Islam doesn't encourage it. So you explore all the means. Because we are human beings. We are human beings. If you are not good, you are not good to me, you don't obey me, you don't listen to me as my wife, naturally that may affect your right upon me. It may affect that. So if you do that and she changes, you have also assisted yourself. Because if she's good to you, you will be encouraged to give her what is due to her. You will be encouraged to give her what is due to her. And when it comes to women, when you deal with women, you have to be very diplomatic. You don't allow her to drag you to the battlefield. Don't allow her to drag you to the battlefield. If she wants to drag you to the battlefield, beg her. Say, please, my dear, I'm sorry. Even if she's the one that is at fault. Because if she drags you to the battlefield, you are stronger than her, but who comes back home with shame? It's you. So don't allow her to drag you to the battlefield in such a way that if she provokes you to the extent that you beat her and all your neighbors have now gathered from trying to have access into the house, she will be happy that, hey, I've exposed him. Everybody in the street now knows that he beats me. So you now walk in the street and people will say, look, that man, yesterday we were all in his compound trying to save his wife. You get it? Although she pushed you to the wall, that is why you don't allow her. You don't allow her. It's like a baby. The baby has done a wrong thing. And is going to be reprimanded, maybe by being punished for what he did. Maybe stop him from doing what he wants to do, but is not good. So he cries. Although you stopped him from doing what may harm him, but now he is crying. You still bring the baby closer and say, okay, sorry, my dear, sorry. That is a woman. You have to be very diplomatic when dealing with them. It's not that you are a fool or you don't know what you are doing, but for there to be peace, just take her to be that kid that needs to be brought closer before he stops crying. When you understand that, then dealing with your wife becomes very easy. Although sometimes you have to when they push you, you have to stand before you'll be able to do that. But if you sit down, you discover that even when there is a very high current and everywhere is very bright, your house is still dark because she's not smiling. She's not smiling. It is when you are at home that any of your kids that goes closer to her, she shouts on them. Because you don't like it. So why not come to terms with her and say, please, I'm sorry if I've done anything wrong. So that you will live in peace. Now may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good understanding. Now, well, the last question, inshallah. Which type of salat? Janazah? Can a woman lead who now? If she is not supposed to lead one, but let's imagine a situation whereby someone dies. The only people in his surroundings are women. Then the burden of bathing, shrouding such person now is being shifted to them because there is nobody else. So in such a situation, that is, a woman can do it because there is no any other person to do it. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. But in an ideal situation, is not, because who is she going to lead now? Lead men? If she is not allowed to lead in other prayers, then there is no any proof that singles out Salatul Janaza for her to lead. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.